This is part two of the Kingmaker series. Welcome. I greet the saints of the living God in the name of Jesus Christ on another perilous day in paradise. Thanks and praise be to our merciful Father. This is a continuation of our sovereignty study, and I'd like to preface this return to the study. It is my hope to simply present some truth that we should already know by the infilling and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11:16 reads, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Many of us believe that he is, but do we diligently seek him? We cannot lay hold of the kingdom of God without first laying hold of our God. And Jesus Christ made all this possible. Praise his name. So let's go get him. Our God has set the courses of the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets and our own paths. Most of us profess this, but how far are we willing to go in the faith? How long are we willing to lay the rubber down on the road and keep it there? Good question. I believe all saints will ultimately discover the meaning of our existence. Conform to the image of Christ and walking in Christ's own paths and paths of humility, servitude to the Father of all creation. The meaning of our existence? That's clear, isn't it? The glory of God. This is presented that the saints may be edified and strengthened and not cast into doubt or fear. What I have to present is probably dynamite, pure explosive dynamite. The truth usually is. It got a lot of people killed. It's spiritual dynamite, yeah, and an open door for ridicule and rebuke and rejection. It doesn't bother me. I'm just preaching. Preaching to an empty wilderness as far as I can see. I don't know who's listening, and I don't know why, and I don't care. I present this to you in humility and fear, but not fear of you, nor the fear of reproof of the Pharisees and the blind dumb dogs among us. Rather, I fear God, who called me to preach this. And I'll do so. And I said, dynamite? Yeah, and I've lighted the fuse. Let's return to the Kingmaker. I am he, says the Lord. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah 1:5. Before the beginning of time and of the earth, God was. That's as far as we can go with this fact in our minds. The rest is faith. Scripture tells us that God always was and had no beginning, no end. This is impossible to rationalize in our here today, gone tomorrow world without faith. Everything we know, including ourselves, has a beginning and has an end. What we newly build eventually rots and turns to dust. But it's truth. God set all things into motion, the stars and their courses, and God laid the plans for each and every one of us before the foundations of the earth were laid. God set our feet upon our paths and knows where they'll end up, how they'll end up. Isaiah 43:8 states, "I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Some of these guys say that God created the place in Christ and not those who would ultimately reside there. Well, what does according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world mean? As far as I'm concerned, this is a narrow-minded and a dim-witted excuse perpetrated by Satan that we be duped into believing that God has no control. Take a look at Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So I suppose that God doesn't know when we'll go bald and have less hairs to count? Give me a break. The shepherd knows his sheep, John 10:14. Question is, do his sheep know him? Did the above-mentioned ordination of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5 happen only to the prophets? Of course not. Weren't all our courses or paths set from the beginning of all things? Were only the prophets' names written in the Lamb's book? Or all those God foreknew, predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29? When was the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world written? Rhetorical question. We know the answer by what Scripture testifies to in Revelation 13. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, a person, this person also did he predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, not a predestinated image. So let's talk about the foreordination issue. Do any of us remember ever being foreknown of God before we were born? Scripture tells us that we were known of him before our births. It was his Son who was to be the firstborn of many brethren. The many brethren are God's saints. Fully accepting God's full sovereignty and power can only lead us to true surrender as Christ and constant praise of his mercy. It doesn't make us proud. We're not in a clique or a club. We're carrying a cross. We're not showing off. We must not ever think that we've reached a place in which we believe we're saved. In the case of the Calvinists, this is their downfall. When one begins to believe they're saved, face it, pride cometh, not fear, pride, not praise of God's mercy or awe, no, pride. Does this cliquish attitude sound like a foreknown, foreordained, predestinated Jesus Christ? On the contrary, Jesus was humble and meek, surrendered and obedient to God the Father. He is our own example to follow. As I stated in the first study, we agonize and work out our salvation in fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. We are exhorted by Paul through the Holy Spirit to not shipwreck our faith. We do not have a lock on our salvation. God, who set all things in motion, does. We do not have a lock onto when the sun is going to come up. We do not have a lock on what we're going to have for dinner or whether we're going to be able to have dinner. No. Only God has a lock on all things that he has set into motion, and we live by faith. God knows the end of the story for each and every one of us. Scary, sure. Provocative, sure. Challenging, sure. And why not? The teachers throughout the ages have taught us lies. We must unlearn their ways. and follow Christ to the throne in faith and petition God for ourselves, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've become wise in the ways of a church world nightmare, a nightmare full of traps and snares and ditches and lies. We're out of that world now, saints. How about seeking out the truth and believing the real Jesus Christ and the real Holy Spirit and the real loving Father we have? It's no joke that we put God in a box. Big mistake. The foreordained paths wind on. They'll never be changed. Nor will our God or His Word. One point in all this is that I'm mystified by the resistance to the truth and the utter rejection of the notion of a sovereign, in control all the time God. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Isaiah 46:10. Did not God form vessels fitted for wrath? Ooh. Is His word a lie? Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Did God suffer these because He loves pain or what? No. Willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, to bring Himself glory. Why did God foreordain vessels or people fitted for wrath? Why did He foreordain these? That He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy. That's us receiving His mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Romans 9:23. How can you argue with that? And I will do all my pleasure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 1:1-2. The Word was with God at the beginning. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Who 1 Peter 1:20 tells us, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It was through a foreordained, 1 Peter 1:20, Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit, that the foreordained saints, that the foreordained events we read about in Scripture came to pass. It is through a foreordained Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit that the foreordained vessels or brethren were awakened and sanctified and equipped to be conformed to the image of God's firstborn and saved in the end. How about Psalms 132:17? There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. Who is the ordained lamp for God's anointed ones, His called out ones, His true church? Jesus Christ. Proof? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. Who's the word? Yeah, we know this. About John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go figure. Interesting passages in John 9:1-3. And Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Everybody believed that if a child came from parents and the child was messed up, it was because of, you know, the parents' sin or his sin, whoever, it was always because of his sin, which generally is true. Jesus answered them and he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, that God should receive the glory. It was already foreordained that this simple man be blind and to receive his sight to God's glory before the foundations of the earth were laid. It wasn't simply an advantageous time for God to insert this and receive glory. Are we kidding? John 9:3 speaks of God bringing glory to himself, shouts it out. But when was it established that this would occur? Excuse me, God was resting from his work. I believe that God's work was the planning, the foreordination, foreknowledge, all of that. And Jesus Christ, the Word, was God's workman. He set everything into motion by his word, by his actions. Proof? Colossians 1:16, unless I've got it wrong. For by him were all things created, him, Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. The firstborn. Our sovereign God made the plans for the universe, for the world, for salvation for a few. God had his firstborn do the work of creation, including laying down his life for those who would be called out to salvation at the end. Those that would be called out have their eyes opened, sanctified, renewed, making their calling and election sure. You know, we blow by these scriptures. Where are we on the in-between paths between called and chosen, between calling and election? Where are we? Only we ourselves can know that individually. Read your scriptures. Ponder these things in faith and in prayer before your God. Jesus Christ did God's pre-planned work through the ages, was finally made flesh, manifest to us, you know, manifest to us in these last times. And he went to the cross, his cross, for us. But even Jesus Christ was foreordained to be, according to Scripture. Through whose lips did God speak to Moses or Abraham at all? Who did Abraham speak to when seeking to save any in Sodom who were righteous, i.e. Lot? We say Jesus himself. Well, we're correct. Interestingly, some people think the three persons with Abraham, speaking with him and visiting him, were the Godhead. How many angels went into Sodom to get Lot out? Let me see. Two. How many persons did Abraham speak to about Sodom? One. Now, if our math skills are up to snuff, that adds up to three. And Scripture tells us plainly who these were. The Word of God, Jesus, to whom Abraham spoke. He didn't speak to the other two. He spoke to one. And the other two angels who would enter Sodom and get Lot out. Contrary to popular delusions, folks, Abraham didn't see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I have no idea where this tribe came from. Well, I take it back. I do know. So do you. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. Isaiah 41:4. Who made whom? The story of creation began with the physical manifestation of that which God had ordained before the foundation of the earth. There's plenty of scripture to confirm that, which comes from the living Word by his Holy Spirit in us. His scriptures bear it out if we have the eyes that we've been given. By virtue of these revelations to those God has called, sanctified, and quickened by his Spirit that teaches, 1 John 2:27, it's unimaginable that a true saint of the living God would ever consider showing any deference to the modern church or the modern church God professing multitudes that believe God is somehow malleable, changeable, God knows our petitions before we petition him, and we'll get onto that point soon. So be patient. God is at rest, and what he placed into motion at the beginning is running its foreordained course. Let's look at a little example. For the sake of a historical starting point, 6 to 13,000 years ago, as some reckon, I'm not going to argue with them, was when God created the universe, and also the mechanism within this earth that would rupture and create the fountains which caused the great flood of Noah's time. That mechanism was in place then, at creation. As man began to populate the earth and sin abounded and time passed, this physical mechanism, under some stress, would continue to weaken. Now, side by side, man and his foreordained first cataclysmic doom, the mechanism that would destroy the earth, coincidentally, hurtled to a head-on collision. God did not have to punitively conjure up a flood just when he saw that man was hopelessly evil. Not one of those, oops, man, what have I done here? Or, I gotta fix this right now. Oh, man. You know, that would imply that God would have to change something in his creation to bring about his judgment on the earth. If this were to believe, then God resting on the seventh day from his work is a lie. It is not to say that God can't do this form of insertion, but by his own word in our hearts and in his scriptures, God's rest would have to be interrupted. And that's impossible. God's no liar. It was done as it was laid out to be. As sin abounded, the mechanism weakened, and bang, you had a head-on collision. The flood was already planned for. He knew man would sin. Isaiah 48:13. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together.